Welcome to Fright School. Are you ready? Class is in session.
Scary Christmas, Fright School. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joshua. Scary Christmas to you.
Yay, season's greetings. Merry Creepmas. Ghoul-tide. Yes, slay all the puns.
It's like, how many puns do you got there?
Happy horror days.
Happy horror days. Happy Honda days.
Oh, there we go. That
but
is horrifying.
I celebrate Toyota-thon, so.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We'll let it slide.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know why I said that because I had nothing to do with wherever you just took it to. I don't drive. What do I fucking know about cars? Oh,
it's here.
Yes, it is here. Another year of scary things you have gotten through. You've managed, you know? Good
no,
for you.
I've managed. We're not going to talk about how Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is basically a Magneto origin story.
Right. I know. Yeah. But you notice more people are picking up on that. Like, I saw so many memes this year with, like, Rudolph, like, people sharing about, like, exploitation, labor exploitation, like, Rudolph is, like, serial killer, like, taking out all the other reindeer who, like, made fun. Like, it's a thing. Like, it's growing. I'm not saying I'm responsible for it, but...
But, you know,
we're making people think on this show.
Exactly.
About the stories we were raised with, what we've been told to accept. And we're not taking it anymore, Santa. We're not taking your exploitative practices, labor practices. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was something just
you can miss me with that, Santa.
Exactly. Another scary Christmas time. I did finalize my scary Christmas film list this year.
And what is on the agenda for this year?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited because there's technically three films I've never seen, but I mean, I guess we really can't count Krampus, even though it's like the new director's cut, but I have not seen it yet.
Okay. So it'll be new to you when you watch it.
Yeah, at least the director's cut will be, but okay. There are two films that I've actually never seen before that I put on the list this year. And I think I kind of changed it up. Like when I went back and I looked at past lists, this is kind of it's pretty fresh. So I'm doing Deathcember. I'm going to start with that because it's an anthology and kind of perfect while you're like hanging out and drinking cocoa and, you know, seeing our friends, people arriving. It's a good arriving film.
Sure. Our friends are in it.
Yes. We know lots of people that are in it, directed pieces in it. I mean, it's super cool. Great way to start. Yeah, I can't wait to have friends here and I could just brag to them. Like, I know who wrote and directed this. That'll be real nice, right?
It'll be a nice way to start it so that way they can leave if they want.
I'm kidding.
It's he's going to do this
you know,
all
we're not
day.
The, you, we're not those kind of people.
No.
Like, you know.
No, not yet.
Not yet. So then The Children from 2008, which is about like Christmas Day and like the kids get like some kind of virus that makes them psychotic killers. I don't know. That was just what was explained. So put that on the list. I like to remind people why having children is a bad idea. As we go into the new year. Don't put babies on your list because they will murder you in a homicidal viral rage. And then Silent Night from 2021.
Yes.
Which again, I'm not sure if it like counts. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but it looks kind of ominous. It's like apocalyptic, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's also, it's got Keira
Knightley.
Did you
see it?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it's got Keira Knightley.
You were the one who kind of sold me on adding it.
Yeah. I kind of want to try to see if I can be here for that.
Okay.
I have to look at your timing, but
yeah, that's the 4 p.m. movie. So it might be too. Yeah, it might be too early. But if I like it, we'll keep it on the list and, you know, maybe we'll do it for next
year. And then I'll watch it separately and then we can talk about it.
Yeah. Next year we'll do, maybe for the holidays, we'll do like Silent Night, Deadly Night. There's another Silent Night movie. There's like a lot of them. So maybe we'll just do like a whole like.
We'll watch XXX where the gas is called Silent Night. That the mad scientist creates for everybody with Vin Diesel. Joshua's tuned out completely from listening to me.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Vin Diesel, and I'm just like, what? I don't know who that is. Anyways, yeah, sure. Whatever you said, Joe, we'll do that. I'm kidding. Don't hold me to this, because I'm not exactly sure, because I have not seen this XXX movie, at least that one that you're talking about. I've seen others. You said XXX, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not
but
seen that.
But that's what it's called.
Okay. Whatever. I'm on to you. Then Black Christmas 1974, because I always, I kind of have to have that on the list. I really enjoy it, and I always, I mean, I haven't had it on every single year, but I do like watching it, so that's kind of for me. And then The Nightmare Before Christmas, which I do always have, because that's one that, like, a lot of people try to be here for that moment. It's kind of nice. It's just a good place to be. And then Krampus, the naughty cut, and then Scrooged at 10. That's the 10 p.m. movie. Sorry, I almost said 1988 because that's when it was made. I always put the dates of when things were made, you know, just so the people know what yeah. they're getting into. Yeah. So very excited. It's a good lineup this year. I've got lots of food coming, all of those things.
Wonderful.
What else was I going to say? There was something I was thinking about earlier, but... it'll come back to me. What's been going on in your week?
In my week, well, you know, just trying to stay safe, dodging the virus.
Right. Yeah.
Hopefully all of you. And if you have it, I hope you're vaccinated and boosted and listening to this as you convalesce.
Yeah, this is true. We actually have a few friends and people we know that have been struggling against old COVID. I'm not sure if they have the Omicron or whatever it is. Omicron. Omicron, right?
Omicron.
Omicron. I'm not sure if it's that in particular, but it's definitely hit us. And we obviously talked about how we, you know, the show got canceled that we wanted to see because of COVID. It's
officially here. Canceled
yeah.
now?
Yeah, now it's definitely canceled. Definitely dead.
So we'll be getting some money back?
Yeah, which is always nice. Yeah. I've actually had quite a few things canceled that I've been sitting on. Like, I bought tickets to see Iona Lee, who is like, I am a my, who am I? And Jonah Lee. She's got quite a few projects. I bought the tickets in February of 2020, and they just finally were like, okay, we're just going to cancel. So it was kind of nice because I'd spent several hundred dollars on like a VIP, like meet and greet, a whole, you know, it was like a whole shebang. It was all kinds of stuff. So to like suddenly get, you know, a few hundred bucks at the holiday time, you know, felt good. I bought a bunch of that chocolate you see over there. That's for Jeffrey. I've stuffing his stocking.
Ah, with chocolate.
With a chocolate, yes, because it won't kill him.
Ah, kinky. Yeah,
right, exactly. but yeah, so, yeah, fucking COVID. I'm so over it. But I also am like, you know, better things get canceled than anybody that I love die or anybody that I don't love. Like, I don't want anybody to die, frankly, from like something like that, you know. Well, anything, anyone. See, no, I'm off.
Yeah, I feel like
trying to keep my happy holiday spirit.
My Instagram stories are like so manic. It's like, you know, here's this very gut-wrenching post from a doctor on Reddit talking about how he's not going to see patients anymore because fucking COVID and QAnon are ruining his life. And then like the next thing is like some really weird queer like advent calendar song. Like, you know, it's just yeah. like that's what my life is like these days.
Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting. so we'll see. I actually, you know, am even hoping that scary Christmas happens. You know, I mean, it's one of those things.
I mean, it will happen anyway, because
right, but I don't, I you know, I mean, I'm hoping people will come and hang out, but again, you know, I guess we'll just kind of see. I'm gonna keep everybody 6 feet apart, I guess. Like, you sit in the backyard,
well,
but just be here where I can look at you.
You know, let me ask you that, right? As like someone who is planning to host and have people in your home, like, what is what are your protocols, I should say? Because it's weird now, right? Because now we have vaccinations, we have booster,
yeah.
We know a lot. We know more than we did like last year about the behavior of the virus.
Yeah.
So people are more apt using that knowledge, as limited and as they may have it, but using that knowledge and those and that science,
yeah.
They are more apt to like be apart, be together.
Well, I'm just trusting the people in my life that, you know, they'll come and it'll be, you know, like if they're feeling sick, you know, like I've had that where people have like texted me, like when we did the Friendsgiving, you know, somebody was like, oh, you know, I have a runny nose. I'm like, you know, just if you have anything, stay home. You know,
yeah,
like we'll see you another time. Like, I don't even care if it's not necessary. I mean, that's the thing. Even if it's not COVID, like that, like that's just a lesson in general. Like if you're not feeling well, like stay home, like yeah. Don't go to events and things. Like, I mean, I get like there's obviously lots of politics around work and all of those sorts of things. Like people have to make the choices they have to make, especially when they're forced.
But that's work,
you know, yeah.
When but it's like, optional leisure, when you're yeah. spending time around people that you yeah. love, is it serving? Is it going to be good for them? And is it going to be good for you and your enjoyment to be sick around them?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like a whole other thing because it's like people get all like upset, you know, and there's lots of familial stuff around that too where it's like, but we want to see you. And then it's like, well,
I would rather see
But I
people.
Would rather, yeah. yeah. I'll see
I would
you
rather
next
A,
month.
Not get sick and B, like have us be enjoying fully each other's company and you not having to blow your nose every 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, and just, yeah, it's just like, let's, you know, try not to spread stuff around in general, but, yeah. So I guess I'm just like, I know everybody who said they were coming, I know they're all people who are vaccinated, some of them are already boosted, you know, so I'm just kind of trusting the people that I know are coming, that they've been responsible, and that hopefully everything goes well. I'm also kind of like, even if somebody comes, like, there's part of me that also feels like we kind of have to accept that there's probably a good chance all of us are going to get this at some point. It's just what degree it's going to affect you. So I'm also just trying not to be too, like, panicky about it. Like, I want everybody to be safe, and of course, I don't want anybody to get sick. So, of course, there is always that risk that somebody's going to come who has it but doesn't know, and they're not exhibiting any symptoms, and they're boosted and, you know, vaccinated and the whole big thing, and we're still going to get sick. And I don't know, I guess maybe that's just something that I kind of have, I can't control for that. You know, all I can ask is that people be responsible. And we've had events where some people have wore masks the whole time, and they're certainly allowed to do that and welcome to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we had a thing outside in the yard. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I definitely am not feeling like it's a big enough risk to like want to cancel everything because I know the people that are coming, but,
yeah, because you typically have had, I guess, in the pre-COVID and the great before, a general open door policy. People can come and go. People can bring guests.
Yeah, so it's rare that I've had like a ton of people at once. Usually yeah. there'll be two or three or four people here. That's why I publish the movie list so that people kind of know when they might want to come or when they don't want to come. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm just trying to be. Aware of it and trust the people I care to make the, you know, good decisions for themselves. And, you know, I feel comfortable having people here in the house and like hanging out because, you know, of my own, like my health. But I'm not going to be offended either. If anybody calls like, hey, I don't want to come to your house because you're inviting a bunch of people over. That's fine. That's perfectly fine by me. Like I'm not going to,
yeah,
you know, so we'll see.
We do what we need to do to make ourselves feel okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. It's just, it's such like a, even just sitting here like talking about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm all over the place. Because it, I mean, I, you know, I am. Like, it's, I see a million different sides to it. So, it's kind of what I'm training my brain to do is like.
I was
know.
Like, that's your therapist. You have the therapist speak.
Like, how can we think about this in a different way? Like, you know. So again, you know, if people want to come and want to hang out, you know, our house is big enough. People can spread out and be okay, I think. And I will also have the backyard open up so we can hang out there. And I think it'll be fine, you know. Keep the fans running, keep things, you know.
You have a lot of trust in the people in your life.
I do, and they haven't failed me yet. Like, we've had a few events, and everything's been fine. And people have said, like, you know, hey, I'm not feeling well. I don't think I should come. So I feel like we have that kind of respect. Now, I mean, if I was at, like, a family gathering in Ohio, I probably wouldn't go. Yeah. Love to my brother and his family, but, you know. I think we're kind of more in a bubble here of, like, you know. Yep. Whatever most, I think a lot of people are like, you know, they're not willing to take the risk. Like, you know, And like I've said before, if it's all like a hoax and we're all being tricked into wearing masks and washing our hands, like I'd still would rather take that than die.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather take the risk of like, oh, the CDC and the government conspired to make me look like an idiot wearing a mask for a year than the people who say that and then they get it and get really, really sick.
Yeah, because
and die or
yeah,
have other horrible things happen because of like, and again, not because like they're idiots or anything. There's like a lot of trickery at foot. Afoot. You know, I think to some degree, there's an encouragement of distrust.
Yeah,
in science,
government conspiracy implies that like government is that functional, right? Like,
well, yeah, that's true.
I think you've said that before, yeah. Right? Is that government like is that organized and can coordinate itself that much?
Yeah, like that takes a real concerted sort of effort. But and also that the entire world is participating in like. Some kind of propaganda to, influence U.S. citizens. It's just, it's bizarre. But again, if that's the case, hey, I'd still rather take the risk. I don't care about, and I actually stand firmly, and I've kind of had this conversation with the Squancher a few times because he really doesn't like the masks. You know, it's very uncomfortable for him. And I wear contacts, so I definitely get that. Like, I don't get the glasses thing. They don't really make me uncomfortable. And if anything, I kind of really like the masks for a lot of reasons. Like, I haven't had colds. I haven't had other issues. People leave me alone, which I love, in like cars and in different things. My masks are all really cute and fun. So they coordinate with my outfit. So I actually have really enjoyed wearing the masks. And I think we should normalize it more. When you think like if you're sick and you got to go out and do things, hey, wear a mask. Like, I just think we should normalize that. I've said that a few times. But there's other fringe benefits that the mask have and I think about my female friends who, my women identifying friends and women presenting friends who feel like, nobody tells them to smile. Nobody like fucks with them in the same way. So there's just reasons I enjoy the masks. Oh my gosh. So listen to this insanity. I've fallen down a YouTube rabbit hole of van life and like tiny house videos. Have you seen any of these?
Yeah, but it's... Hold on. I'll let you say what you're going to say, and okay. I will say what I'm going to say.
Well, maybe we're on the same page. But anyways, I've been watching, and I can't stop watching them. I don't know what it's like. It's very fascinating to me, because one, it's sort of like...
You're not handy.
No, I'm not handy at all. Gonna say, I'm not going to do this.
I know. I was like, you're not handy, so... Yeah,
I don't even own a car. How can I move into one?
I mean, that'll be the greatest trick of all, right?
Right.
can't move it.
But I'm watching these videos. I'm just getting lost in them before bedtime, just watching hours of like these videos this week. When I really should be doing other things like filling out my grad school applications, but whatever. I'm like watching these things where these people are like converting vans or like, whatever, big vehicle things into like homes on wheels. So part of me is like, wow, this is really ingenious, efficient use of space. I love that. I like good design. I think it's really fascinating to kind of try to take a small space, like, like caravan wagons and stuff, like how, like, I'm like really fascinated by that culture, like how people kind of have an entire life in like a room is just really fascinating how they use the space. But I'm also sitting here going, it's really fucked up how like culturally we like look down on people who live in trailers or like trailer parks. We're like, that's so like, you live in a trailer, or we like arrest and harass people who like have to live in their cars because they can't afford an apartment or they can't afford, to own a house because, live in a third world fucking country sometimes. And like, that's bad to like be poor and live in your car. But if you're like a white girl who can spend $100,000, or whatever, like one of the things that was like $60,000 to convert this van and live in it full time. And she's, all of them, it's all the same. They're all web developers or photographers or artists or some kind of thing. And, they're just living in their vans, driving all over the United States, living their best lives, right? Parking in Walmart parking lots, parking in parks, parking in trailer parks. But they're not trailer trash, don't get me wrong. right? It's like so fucked up. I've been like thinking about this all week.
Gentrify trailer parks.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. I'm like been thinking about it all week. I'm just like, this is kind of cool, but it's really fucked up. Like how we really like, I mean, like how is this a thing?
You know? See, what we need is for like somebody to do like one of those, to do a like makeover style day in the life of like, this is me living in my trailer, my tiny home with my family. Mm-hmm. But it's like what really occurs. Like it's the like student at a university who like has to sleep in their car and up in the one parking lot that doesn't have a security guard that cares that they're there, you know?
Right, exactly. Or there's like other things. Like, and again, a lot of these people when they talk, they're like, you know, oh, I put a shower in, but I don't really need a shower because like I have my friends and I'll go and like go to their house and shower. I'm like, well, like
we have a
like,
gym membership,
right? Or there are other things that like, you know, it's like, well, like people who are like truly homeless or like can't like do this kind of thing, like that's not like an option for them, you know? So it's just, it's this whole strange lifestyle that I'm just like, it's so glorified and everybody's like talking about how like amazing and wonderful this is, but at the same time I'm just like, yeah, but then we like call the police on people living in their cars, you know? Yeah. Like it's just, it's really messed up. Or again, like the trailer, because I'm like, you live in a trailer. And in fact, you live in something that costs like twice as much as if you would have just got a trailer. You just go live in a trailer if you want to like downsize. You know, when I was a kid and we'd go to like, because I mean, I had family that lived in trailer parks. And yeah, some of them were very stereotypically, you know, like that kind of thing, like the trailer park boys or what you picture in a trailer, in a trailer park. You know, Roseanne did an episode where Becky like moves into a trailer and like people come around and it's like, you know, exactly what, you know, it's that whole stereotype.
The refuse of a trailer park.
Right, exactly. But then you'd go places and be like, there's some really nice like trailers. I mean, I remember going and visiting like friends who lived in trailers and they had like, it was boosted up, you know, and not, and they were not spending that same kind of money, you know. again, I guess it's not as mobile. Like, it's not the, I mean, I'm sure some of them are, like, and people who live in, like, Airstreams or live in RVs or live in other things, you know, the point is to be mobile and, like, drive around. But then one guy was like, yeah, he made a school bus into, like, a place to live. That's a thing, a schoolie. Mm-hmm. I'm learning their language.
Stop it.
And but he's like, oh no, I'm not driving around, I'm just sitting, I'm just parked in a trailer park. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like, you spent 2 years doing this when you could have just bought a trailer and lived in the trailer park, you know, or bought like a, you know, an RV or something like that. And I get it, again, there's like a whole thing of like doing it yourself and like it's a whole culture of that, of creating the space and making it kind of what you want. It's very fascinating, but no, I mean, I definitely could not. Could you imagine packing all this into a
I have
too much crap.
You can barely fit your possessions in one room.
I know, that's true. That's why, yeah, and I'm kind of spread out amongst the house. But with Jeffrey, we were watching and he was just like, yeah, we couldn't live like this. Could you imagine? I'm like, well, no, because like you're 6'5". So first of all, what damn car are we even going to find?
You need like a vaulted ceiling.
Although the one girl she had a really tall one. And the way they had done it, it was like, she's like, oh, my friend, he's 6'3". He can stand up in here. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty tall fucking car, you know? But again, some of these are these like Mercedes. I'm just like, okay,
yeah,
what? It's just the whole concept, it's just boggling my mind. This has nothing to do with Christmas or anything like that.
Or horror. It's horror on a different level.
Yeah, it's horror on a different level. But again, you know, think about that. Like,
look, you
know,
at you, Joshua, participating in bootstrap fetishism.
Right? It's so strange. No, I'm not like, I'm not sharing these videos to talk about how great it is. I'm like culturally, like, can we fucking leave people alone? Regardless, like, hey, if they want to do this, that's awesome. Like, hey, put all your YouTube, all of that is fine. But we have to, like, stop demonizing people who, like, live in their cars or, you know, or live in trailers or, like,
yeah,
you know, it's insane.
They make me really upset, like, yeah, these videos do, because it's, like, it's everything that you said, right? Yeah. Plus the fact that, like, I will never be able to do this or visit them because the tiny places are not made for fat people,
right?
Like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, there are some people's apartments where it's like I can barely like walk through the door.
Yeah.
And it's not because like the world is already not built enough for that, so highlights the fact that, like, you know, some of these like white girls are really tiny and you know, yeah, the family is fit, they and I'm just like,
yeah.
And then like I was, because I kind of fell down a TikTok rabbit hole where I watched this one family. They like, we converted our giant RV and now we like, you know, we homeschool and do all this stuff. And it just seems very like, it's very kind of like crypto conservative, you know, like we don't really, we're not going to talk about like our kind of our conservative values, but here's us doing this very like, making this stuff and our family. And it's just like, and then I'm just like, oh my God, these poor children having to share bedrooms and like be, you know, ushered around the entire country and having no privacy.
Well, that's like, did you ever watch Reno 911?
No.
Oh, okay. So Zach Galifianakis, it's probably one of his earlier roles. I don't remember what his first like, you know, thing was, but he played a guy who lived in a school bus with like a bunch of his kids, and they had a ton of guns, and they were like, you know, that was the idea. They were sort of like, you know, off the grid, you know, anti-government, you know, types. And it's funny that you say that, because that's what, like, we watched a few, most of the ones that I've seen, it is a lot of like solo female van traveling, like van life. That's like a subgenre of these, you know? So it is like,
no,
you
stop
know,
it.
50 videos of like little tiny white girls like living in their van.
And, you own the same hats as they do?
No, I don't. No, these are all very hippy dippy. These are not okay. Goth types.
No, like, I mean like, you know, no wide brim cap.
Oh, there was a couple, but okay. No, most, like some of them were very like, it's a mix, because some of them were also very active. Like a couple of them, it's like, oh, I go rock climbing and I live in the national forest in my, you know, Mercedes, you know, whatever it was. Hell,
and I broadcasted my location. I'm a single woman. Come
right.
And get me.
Well, there's a lot of conversation actually about the safety of it, about being a woman and being like safe in this. And so they all like, that's something that a lot of them show off, is like how they get out of it really quickly, or having like, you know, the cab be open.
Oh my God. Is it like a TikTok dance where it's just like, you know, how, and then you do the hand thing and you point to the different, like,
oh, right. The different safety measures.
Different safety measures.
Here's where I hide my taser. Here's where I hide my bat. And look, I can jump from my bed to the cab and drive off in 5 seconds.
Here's my keychain that looks like a cat, but really it's like
right.
I put in my knuckles and can gouge their eyes
out. Yeah, yeah. But they also, it's interesting because there's the whole thing of like where a lot of them also make a point to say it's not as bad as you'd think. Like they're like, I thought it would be really unsafe, or I thought that and my friends are worried for me, but like everybody out here in van life is awesome and like I feel very safe and it's, you know, great. You know, so like there's like a whole like...
Because they're predominantly in white space.
Well, again, I mean, who knows? But like they, you know, I mean, I have a theory that the world is kind of a better place than we think it might be, you know, but who really knows? I haven't gotten to that part of my research because I keep thinking like I'm going to look up like van life, like murders, like I'm kind of like true crime.
You're
well,
never
obviously,
gonna, you're
like
never going to find it.
Well, that whole thing that happened recently with what's her face? Gabby, with the boyfriend, the girlfriend, and she went missing. They were van lifers. They were like traveling all around a van. And
I have no idea what you're talking about.
This was like captivated the nation for all of a week, which is, you know, months.
There is a pandemic going on. I don't care about
Well, she went missing, and the boyfriend went missing, and then they found his body because he probably killed her. It was a whole big thing, and it cast this whole thing on like, see, van life isn't that great, y'all. Your boyfriend might murder you and then go missing himself. Like, it was a whole thing. Anyways, I can't believe you don't know what I'm talking about.
I think I might know what you're talking about. I don't really pay attention to
to white people.
I don't pay attention to white people going missing. If I don't know them, I really don't pay attention to them.
Oh my gosh.
See, this is the
Gabby
thing.
Petito. That was her.
Yes,
name.
Thank you. Yeah, I was like, yeah.
And
I know.
Brian Laundrie.
Every time people post stuff on this is going to sound really dark, but every time people post like, repost like, hey, this person's missing, please let me know. I look at them and I'm like, I don't think people will know. Like, I don't know them.
Yeah, well, all right.
Wow, this is really dark.
Yeah, it went in a weird place. But the point is that...
What is the point?
Is the fetishization of this. Oh, yeah. No, is that Jeffrey was... he pointed out because we were watching... Oh my gosh, see, this, like, we get so off track because we don't... Dear listener, we don't write this stuff. This is just happening in live, real time.
Yeah, this is your Christmas present.
Yeah. So, Jeffrey kept pointing that out in some of the videos where he's like, this feels very like prepper-ish, very like, yeah, right wing, like QAnon some of them, but it's like just on the edge, some of them, you know, where it's not present. They're not talking about that, but it is very like.
They hid the Q flags.
Right? Yeah, yeah. But there's like a streak of that. But some of it is also just this like fetishization of like.
We need to turn their faces into the FBI, see if it matches any of the footage from the January 6th.
But like, yeah, tiny house living and, you know, and again, I have friends that I think that'd be awesome if they could do that because they design websites and they do things that like they could be like off, they could work from anywhere in the world and, you know, but again, that also takes a certain thing because these people like that doesn't like, you know, they have access to like Wi-Fi and they have access to other, you know, like things that make it doable.
Modern life, it's a paradox, right?
Right.
Modern life actually makes it so that way they can disconnect and choose to not engage. Whereas like poor people cannot, you know, some poor people who live in metropolitan areas and, you know, cannot choose to disengage because they are so reliant on all of those systems.
Yeah. So it's just a really fascinating thing I've been down a rabbit hole.
It's interesting you're talking about, so I have a YouTube thing I want to talk about in a minute, but like it's interesting talking about this, like who does that, who chooses to go live in a rural area, because I think like for myself, my bias as a kind of like coastal elite queer, right? This is all with like sarcastic quotes around it, is that like, why would I go live in like Appalachia? Why would I go live in the Confederacy and all these things? But there are queer people who exist in those places.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Who also want and enjoy the quote unquote like lack of government restriction in those areas. Like, I have a friend who moved to North County, San Diego, like real North County, San Diego. Last year during the pandemic, specifically because of that particular community's lax restrictions on masking in public, because they have such a nat like a also that distrust of government as well.
I see.
In the same way that like people, black people of color, black indigenous people of color, can have that like warranted mistrust of government. And so, and I also
Of medical intervention.
And exactly. And then I also know one of my queer friends from that I met actually through a podcast is someone who does like who's a sails on ships, like big tall ships. And when they're not doing that, they live in the woods in their like tiny home attached to their car. And it's like the perfect life for them, because again, when you are like a queer person who does not seem to like nowhere where you live seems to match or fit you, you go and you make your own place, right?
Right.
So I totally understand it from like that perspective, you know, the queering of van life, or the queering of like rural life. But like when it gets to a point where it's like, look and see how much I have, even though it's like it's all now in this condensed space, but look and see how high tech it is, and oh my god, I work so hard to do this,
right?
It feels weird.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing. So what were you gonna say about your YouTube thing before we
I want to I was actually inspired by our dear friend Chelsea Stardust, who did like a little YouTube thing for of like curated animated Halloween stuff. And so I basically compiled this like list of like over 50, almost 60 short like videos about like around queering Christmas.
Yeah.
So like, you know, songs, things that are not necessarily like that are not queer, but like queer adjacent or queer culture, you know, Patti LaBelle singing
oh, yes.
The National.
Where's my background?
Where's my background singers? And that kind of stuff. But like, I've put that on YouTube and the link will be available in the show notes. If you wanted to put it on at your Christmas gathering today and listen to sketches and, you know, again, it's all very fun and poppy and, some of it is like fun drag performances that are around Christmas, and some of it is like original queer Christmas songs, just things that are fun.
Cool. Is Last Christmas on there?
Last Christmas, like Wham slash yeah. Christmas.
That's pretty gay.
That is pretty gay. It will be when I, it will be when.
You're going to be whamming people.
It'll be, but when they listen to this, it'll be Christmas Day.
Oh, so
they
will have, that's when it ends.
Yes, exactly. Okay. The Whamageddon will have, you know, will have come for everybody.
All righty.
So yeah, so I hope you all enjoy that. It's just fun, weirdo shit that I love.
Cool.
And Melissa Etheridge is in there just for you, Joshua.
Oh, thank you very much. That's so sweet. All right. Well, wherever you live, whatever's going on in your life, we hope that it is, a happy, happy holiday. And wow, that was a huge circle of things. We just kind of visited.
Again, our gift to you is listening to us talk about nonsense.
There we go. Yes. All right. Well, we'll be right back with Gremlins.
Hey, everybody. I'm Chris Fafalius, and I'm the producer of Krista Makes a Podcast and the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
And I'm Matt Kelly, host of Horror Movie Night and the producer / the head of content for the Geekscape Podcasting Network.
Between the two of us, we have, believe it or not, 25 years of podcasting experience, and we want to help you start your own podcast.
We know podcasting, and we want to share that knowledge with you.
So whether you're new to podcasting or you want some feedback on your currently active podcast, we want to help.
Or perhaps you're just overwhelmed with all of the editing work. Well, we can help you with that also.
You can check out our website at weknowpodcasting.com for more information.
We're excited to help your podcasting dreams become a reality.
All right, welcome back. So today we are, it boggles my mind that you had never seen Gremlins.
Never.
Yeah, so this is kind of fun. So obviously we know we've been
still teachable. Hashtag still
I know,
teachable.
Right? Oh, I love that. It's so exciting. So we are taking, we've been doing Jewish horror for this season, but we thought for our actual Hello, it's Christmas episode, Christmas Day episode, we would do Gremlins because you'd never seen it before. So 1984, take us back.
I can't believe it's never come up that I've not done Gremlins.
Yeah, because I've definitely talked about it before. I think even in the first year, because our first scary Christmas episode, we just kind of talked about all kinds of things. You know, we didn't have a specific.
Yeah, and if you go back and listen to it,
You probably did say
I probably said it, and
I wasn't listening.
And you weren't listening because it wasn't subtitled underneath me. Or I faked it.
Yeah.
And, and just did that thing that's yeah, I understand. I know what that is.
Yeah, who knows?
I know you're not supposed to get them wet.
I didn't go back and look. regardless, you reminded me that you had never seen it before. And I was like, well, that'll be perfect. So this was released, kind of funny, it was actually released in the summer, June 8th, 1984. That's 6 months before Joshua. So before I came in,
DJ, before I came before into, Joshua,
before I came into being,
yes, before.
But written or directed by
before the sky darkened,
right? Yes, exactly.
Anton LaVey, the Black Pope, came to deliver you.
yeah, exactly. Anyways, directed by Joe Dante, written by Christopher Columbus. No, Chris Columbus.
Yes,
that was dumb. You had to be there. Anyways. Executive produced by Steven Spielberg,
I guess I know her.
Right. Production, Warner Brothers and Amblin Entertainment, of course. It's about a weirdo Christmas present. Earlier I was thinking, just sit back because we're going to ruin Gremlins for you and expose it for the racist propaganda it is. Although we're not new to that,
yes.
The criticisms that we have existed for a while.
It's racist, classist propaganda,
right? We'll start with what did you think, Joe?
Well, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And this is,
if you're going to deal with racism, might as well be funny.
Exactly. And I think this is something I would watch again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a product of its time.
Yes, but not, but like. Still fun and relevant. Again, it's hard. There are terrifying aspects to it, but overall, the music really makes it fun.
Yeah. I do like that central theme.
Yeah, it's just cool. There are out basically killing people. And it's just, you know, jaunty, a little jaunty tune for you.
Yeah.
While you, like, send a senior citizen, you know, like
careening.
Yeah, careening through her house. Through into the street.
Yeah. A mean lady, though, so.
I know.
Does she deserve it?
And she, you know.
She's very Miss Gulch, you know.
Yes.
Trying to get that dog.
I know. I was like, get that dog.
Which is just, it's a terrible sin against, that is such like an American thing. Like, if you're going to try to hurt a dog, you got to go. We don't like it.
I know. Well, like, I mean, they kind of set that up because she was like wearing her fur. Plus, it doesn't help that like she's a cat lady.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. It's
what I really,
that's what this movie is actually about. Like the dog versus cat people.
What I really wanted to happen when that when they got rid of whatever her name is, Miss Daigle, Dingle, Dongle, whatever the fuck her name is.
Deagle.
When they got rid of her, I wanted like that lady who's been asking for an extension from the bank with her children. I really wanted her to come by and like spit on her or have her kids or have her kids like piss all over her. Like this will be the R-rated version.
Yes.
They released in a couple years for the
when it's remade eventually.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, do you think that they'll let the dog stuff stand when it gets remade, or do you think it'll be like, you know, something else, like, you know,
well,
you and your lesbo lifestyle, or right? Something like that.
Some other kind of small town horror. You know, I don't know. I guess it would depend on, you know, what year it's remade and by who. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that goes to the thesis of this show. You know, what's the perspective?
It'll be Jane Lynch.
Right. There we go. I like that. Yeah. And she'll be beating up on some, like, poor little straight boy.
Yeah, but the poor little straight boy will be Asian in this.
Right, there, yes.
Will actually be Asian.
Yeah, because they'll have to, like, they need to correct some of the...
But, like, how is it going to be? It's like, is it Mogwai is now, it's now from Africa, and now it's going to be, like, even worse?
Wow, you are, yeah, you're really thinking about it, man.
TJ, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I don't know, but I guess as we talk, maybe we'll figure it out before the end, because we're there, and we haven't even really talked about this movie, and we're already criticizing the remake. Yeah. That doesn't exist.
This is a new low for us.
Right.
We're criticizing the remake that hasn't been written yet.
This movie is it's so fascinating to me when you like think about like the 80s and like this kind of like bizarre fetishism of like Eastern like wisdom or something like Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes, which I have seen.
Yeah, so it's like the 80s like always had that. Like if you wanted to like say something about like magic and, you know, the past, like hire this man, the guy who plays Mr. Wing, Ki Luke. Who was in, what else did he do? He did like a...
Was he in Big Trouble in Little China?
I don't know, but...
I was going to say hire James Hong, who played Lo Pan in Big Trouble in Little China.
There you go. Oh my gosh, this man, he made like a billion movies. Wow. Anyways, Gremlins, which we know because that's the one we're talking about. There's all kinds of movies. No, he wasn't in Big Trouble in Little China. But I guess just hire, like, you know, mm-hmm. you bring in an old Asian man and suddenly, you know, you got yourself a story. which, you know, is actually really fascinating about this movie is because, like, some of the critique when it comes to, like, racism focuses on, like, the gremlins, particularly the bar scene. In the way that they're dressed, the music that's playing, like the drinks they're having, you know, that there's sort of this like, you know, comment on like Black Americans. But like, if, you know, like that's definitely there. I'm not going to argue that that doesn't exist. You know, there's plenty of like academic articles out there. But like, I think that the most obvious is like the anti-Asian sentiment is like right there. There's like no subtext to that. Like that, it's or anti-foreign. Like, I mean, the whole, like, I feel like at the end of this, like, there is like a real sentiment of like, well, one of the essays I was reading was sort of like, you know, it has like a real conservative message about like, you know, anxiety, invasion anxiety, and not even just that, like, they're coming here, but like through Dick Miller's character, Mr. I always forget his last name, Futterman, Murray Futterman. Mm-hmm. You think that would stick, Futterman. That's delightful. Not only does he like kind of complain throughout the movie about like this foreign element, but that it's like really like malicious, like it's purposeful, like they're hiding gremlins in cars and in his watch and like in everything to like destroy this country. And so, and then obviously the actual gremlins, like they come from like, you know, this antique shop owned by a Chinese man. And then you pointed out that they have very like Asiatic features when they become, you know,
yeah,
very monstrous, like the way their eyes are shaped seems also very purposeful. So there's just a lot of like, it feels like anti-Chinese sentiment that is like really in your face. Right from the beginning. Even if like the racist stereotypes around like the way the gremlins behave, it's obviously also can be read that way. But like, that's still sort of subtext in the film, you know, because it's not that they're black people behaving that way. It's their monsters behaving in a way that people have attributed to black Americans. Particularly like the way they're dressed being something like very 70s, 80s, like the hats. And again, the way the other racist stereotypes that they behave that gets that reading, but like just right there on the surface, it's like, you know, wow, the Chinese are out to get us.
Them foreigners.
Yeah, the foreigners. And they're just kind of like throughout the whole film is...
the comment about the car.
Yeah.
Even though his car is like a German car, right? It's a Beetle, right? Isn't it?
Whose car?
Billy's car.
Oh, I get it. Does look kind of like a Beetle, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's the point. It's like, is Futterman's like whole thing. It's like, you know, American made is best, you know.
Yeah. Which, like... people still like, don't get me wrong, if I can buy American made, I will, because most of the time American made products are also union made, right? I mean, maybe
it depends.
it depends, but like, you know, for me it's just like, if I can buy, especially if you're, you know, like, I've been in positions at work where I need to purchase things in large in bulk, and so I would prefer to buy it union made if I can. I prefer to buy it American made if I can, just so that way, or local, like always local first. So that way it stimulates a local economy, helps a small business, that sort of thing. I mean, again, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism. So it will all, I'm not doing it because it's going to make me, it's going to absolve me, but it's going to make me feel a little bit better about how the money is being spent. So that being said, it's just like, you know, there are perfectly legitimate reasons why things are made across the sea. This is also very like, I mentioned this to Joshua a little bit, is that it's the Shark Tank of it all. Like any white man who introduces himself as an inventor is already a red flag in a movie. It's like, oh, he's what?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were talking about like Wayne Szalinski and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Exactly. I was like, yeah. Shitty inventor dad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Cause all sorts of problems.
Exactly. Problems for everybody. And like, it's also just like it's the delusion of it all, right? He goes to this store and is he buying something? Is he selling something? Whatever, you know, he's also has this pitch already made, this like, you know, whatever pocket bathroom thing. And then he's like, oh, I'm looking for something for my son. I think he'll love this. I'm like, what in God's green earth why do you think your son will like this? You know what your son would like? Money so he can move out of your house. He's 21 years old.
Right.
He doesn't want, he's like, does he want to be living there? I don't know. He wants you to pay the rent. He wants you to crack eggs with your hands like a normal person.
Yeah, I don't understand giving pets at the holidays. I mean, unless your family has talked about it, like, you know, if your kid's like, we want a dog and we're going to take care of it. And so, of course, you get a, you know, a pet or whatever.
See ya. Puppies are forever.
Right.
Not, you know, just for Christmas.
Yeah, but I don't understand buying somebody a pet or...
that they did not ask for.
Actually, you know,
explicitly ask for.
What's really funny is to go back to the conversation we were having at the beginning of the show about... van life. There was one of the women who got
stopped.
I know, but somebody bought her a fish, a pet fish to keep in the van. And she's like, I don't know why somebody, I mean, she's taking care of the fish and she does, you know, things to keep him alive or them alive. But it's like, I don't know why they thought giving me something like I want to be responsible for was like a good idea. But here I am.
Yeah, with my here fish. I am living irresponsibly in a van. Like, what made them think that I want to be responsible for?
She was actually one who was living. Her car was parked in her place of work where they had a shower that she could use and they let her live there free.
Live in Google?
Basically.
She worked at Google.
Yeah, maybe. She didn't say, of course. Anyways, not the point. The point is, it's like, yeah, I don't know why somebody wants to give you something that you have to be like really responsible for. And then it comes with rules. It's like, not only is here is like this random animal I bought for you or whatever the Mogwai
which
are.
We're just so... We are so okay with the fact that, like, here is something that we have never heard of in the Western world.
Right.
And we're just so willing to welcome it into our home because it looks nice. Like, and it comes with rules. Yeah. And this is white people. They're not going to follow the rules.
That you're giving to some 20-year-old kid, basically, still, you know, I mean.
Who has a dog.
Who already has a dog. Yeah, I know. The whole thing. It's not, I mean, we can't even get into, like, the, listen, I really enjoy Gremlins, even though, I mean, I know that, again, I can contextualize it. It's fun at Christmas because it is like my kind of Christmas movie. Like lots of people die. It's horrifying, just like the holidays.
And they're really fun about it too. It's like this very jaunty music.
Right.
Again,
you know,
as so it's, like they're murdering half the town.
Yeah. So I'm aware, but I am aware of like the, you know, the critique of it. I'm also aware that like there's so many logic issues. Like how do you have something that's like, don't feed it after midnight? Well, midnight where? Where is midnight? And how does its body know it's midnight here and not midnight somewhere else?
But okay, hold on. But that question, that little thing is like, is a werewolf on the moon always a werewolf? Right?
Right.
That's that kind of question.
Right, right.
Because like...
But it still comes up. It's a logical...
But it's true, because time is a construct.
Yeah.
You know, if it's just like time is not absolute, time is a construct. Yeah, so it's like, is if, are we talking like midnight in Canton, in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Or are we talking like midnight wherever?
Well, and if the moon reflects the sunlight, why can vampires go out at night? Mm-hmm. If the only light from the moon is reflected from the sun, correct? So, I mean, we're
gonna asking the big questions here. We saved it for Christmas.
This show gets to the important shit. No, but again,
this is something that you ask. It's like a college orientation icebreaker, and it's like, it's like if this is like, is water wet?
If you feed a gremlin at midnight,
is a hot dog midnight? A sandwich?
But the point is that those there are logical
is cereal
like,
a soup
conversation. Yeah, is it? That's a good question. It's a breakfast soup. I don't know. Maybe cold. It's like a gazpacho.
And assholes always bring up gazpacho when they talk about cereals as soup.
Yeah.
Anyways,
did you just
back
call
to
me
the
an
horror.
Asshole?
No.
You did. It's okay.
It's okay. Well, you are what you eat.
Anyways, but there is. There we go. Yeah. Well, actually, I wrote down because there is that whole like again. This is very like. Well, I mean, I guess anytime, but I feel like there's always that like. In films, like, clash of, like, old and new. Like, he's, like, an inventor going into, like, the antique store, you know? So, like, that's really interesting. Like, the East versus West, the wise versus the young, you know, that the, you know, the man, like, warned them and they still, you know, did what they did. Like, why didn't you tell your young grandson about this creature? Like, listen, we don't go giving this to white people because they will ruin the world with it. So we're going to keep, like, I mean, again, there's a whole... There's so many questions that this movie brings up, but that's not the point, because we have to get to the terror and the mayhem of the gremlins and the whole thing. So, and Christmas, and we have to get to that delightful story that Phoebe Cates tells, you know, midway through the film.
So hold on. So Joshua told me that there was a scene that apparently the studio wanted cut.
Yeah, they like really pushed to have it cut. I think even Steven Spielberg didn't like it. I think he also went on record that he didn't like it, but he said it was Joe's film. It was Joe Dante's film.
Okay.
And if he wanted to leave it in, then it'd be left in. But he did have, I guess, creative control to remove it if he had wanted to.
So there's this scene that happens, and in the first viewing of it, we got distracted by a squancher, and so we had to go back. I missed it, so we went back, and in true Joshua fashion, nothing to be missed, went back, watched it, and the scene is, again, spoiler alert for this movie that's almost 40 years old, it's basically Phoebe Cates' character is telling our main guy, Billy, that, you know, in the beginning, she, like, hates Christmas or doesn't like Christmas.
Right. There's a whole conversation about, like, being anti-Christmas. It makes me a bad person.
Yeah, exactly. The moral implications of disliking Christmas. And so when all of this shit is happening, then she explains why she doesn't like Christmas and gives her origin story, which that when she was a child, her father went missing. And then one day there was like a foul stench coming from their chimney.
No, just listening to you tell it. I love this. I just love listening to you retell this. Go ahead.
There's a foul stench.
Foul stench.
There's a foul stench from the chimney. And when they went up to go open up the chimney, they expected to pull out like a dead animal, but they pulled out her father dressed up as Santa Claus, and he had gotten stuck and died in the chimney.
Which, to be fair, I mean, that is a dead mammal, so it's okay.
And it's a dead animal. We're watching this, and it's also played really seriously. Like, it's like full coverage on her face. Like, you know, the light is really good, and she's telling it, and she's like, "It was my father dressed as Santa Claus," and Joshua starts laughing. He couldn't control it, just like he started laughing now. And I looked over at him, and not since The Fly, when he, our episode about The Fly, I looked over at him and I was like, "What? You are sick." And he's like, "It's just so funny."
Well, listen, what I read was that they wanted it removed because they also couldn't tell if it was supposed to be funny or like, it's just a really odd moment in the film. Like, it's just strange. I mean, again, it does explain why she doesn't like Christmas and like it is sad and like all of that. It's just there's something about just the way that she tells it, the way it plays. It's just really a strange scene. And yeah, it does. It makes me laugh because it's like, it's just so bizarre.
It's very Darwin Awards too. It's just like, we're laughing because like this should not have happened, but you know, it was stupid and so it did.
Yeah. Again, it's a bizarre movie and all yeah. around.
And in true horror fashion, we do get like I guess maybe it's an 80s fashion, you were saying, where like the smartest person in the town is like the local science teacher. Like,
oh, well, yeah, you brought that up. Yeah, well, we were talking. Yeah. Well, that was actually, yeah, that was amusing. You're like, black professor, yeah, STEM.
Yes, black STEM, and then, you know, turned into a stump and died. First person to die again. Yeah. Black person in a horror
this
film.
This does live up to that. Because nobody dies before that.
But just like the like ludicrous idea that like your science teacher.
From high school, you're gonna take this thing to him.
Is gonna run some tests in their like lab, like they fucking like they're a Marvel character, gonna just run some tests and figure out what the fuck it is. Like I'm thinking about my science teachers going to school, and there's no way that they would have been qualified at all to do this. See, this is why like in the future, in the present, right? It's happening.
Like,
now.
Where are you going with this in the future?
It's why now, where it's just like, you know, if anyone needs to do anything high tech, there's always some elaborate reason. Someone works at the company right. or whatever. They're an intern there, and they somehow know how to operate all the machines, but they never get any of the credit. And see, when we redo again, when we finally make the remake that we're critiquing and we hate. That's what's going to happen. It'll be like, you know, the black friend works at like the local biotech company, but they created it.
Right. In the end, that's what you find out.
Yeah. They're like the Umbrella Corporation, but for the Mogwai.
Well, and again, I mean, it could have been way darker. I actually would love to get a hold of like an original script for this, because apparently it was a lot darker. Like Gizmo, I think, was supposed to be Stripe. Like, he was supposed to change. So it goes from like the cute thing to being like the lead villain. But obviously merchandising can't have that. Got to have one of them be cute and good and, you know, stay sweet. But, like, I think the mom even got murdered in the original. Like, her head gets, like, cut off and put in the Christmas tree.
I thought she was going to die.
Yeah.
I really did.
I think that was part of the original story. I even think the dog was supposed to die. I think it was a lot darker in the original, so they definitely pulled it back. But it's still pretty dark. And again, like I was saying earlier, and probably listeners might know this. Well, I'm sure listeners, plenty of our dear listeners know this, but they kind of created the PG-13 rating for this film because they didn't want it rated R because they wanted like families, you know, to see it. I'm assuming this was supposed to be like a summer blockbuster kind of film, you know, Steven
which
Spielberg
again,
involved,
strange. It follows a weird history of like genre films around the holidays being released not around the holidays, right? Hocus Pocus was released in July.
Right. Okay, like, yeah. It is, yeah, definitely is kind of part of that. But yeah, so they kind of, or at least what I read was Steven Spielberg kind of suggested to the MPAA or whatever that is, MPAA, right? The whatever,
the ruiners of fun.
The people who, exactly, the ruiners of fun. I like that. They should adapt, you know, or adjust and make a new rating system so this film could kind of be accurately sold to, you know, families who did not expect it to be so horrifying, probably, because it's like, oh, it's a fun Christmas movie. But I don't...
well, so here's the thing. So
well,
like,
also, did you see the original theatrical poster? I mean, it's like, it's cute little... gizmo hands, you know, gremlins, you know, in a box. It doesn't seem like a horror film.
That's the thing about, so like talking from someone who has never seen the film, right? A lot of the kind of posters for Gremlins or the ads or even like the image that you see on like the iTunes like movie store, it's Gizmo.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this like fucking Furby looking motherfucker is like here just like, you know, ah, Gizmo. Like I expect to go pika pika. Like, and then you get like, you know, they don't show the like, you know, weird racist depictions of the when they turn with the pupil stage and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. This kind of like invasion of the body snatchers, like pods. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was also thinking about like probably people, at least in the 80s that were watching this or parents, they probably were familiar with like the Tribbles on Star Trek and were kind of probably thinking
the what?
The Tribbles, the Trouble with Tribbles. It's a famous Star Trek episode with these like creatures that multiply like kind of in this way. They're little furry balls, like Critters. I know you've never seen Critters, but have you ever even heard of that? Like these space balls kind of creatures that eat people. Okay. Well, anyways, this is like a subgenre film. These kind of like gremlin-y
we've talked
critter.
About critter horror.
Yeah. Like that kind of idea of like little space aliens or some kind of cute creature that becomes something horrifying and, you know, kills everybody.
Like cooties.
Cooties. Yeah. Those sorts of like, yeah, exactly. Anyways, it's like, I kind of think that it's sort of like that. Like if you had seen the Trouble with Tribbles and then you like see the Mogwai, it's like, oh, that's kind of cute. This would be a fun thing to take our kids to. And then it's actually really gory. And yeah, I mean, there are some really like horrifying elements, especially to somebody in like the 80s. I mean, you're watching it now after you've seen Inside and you've seen all these other like Christmas horror films. This is like,
I watch FX
relatively, right? Exactly. Yeah. So relatively speaking, it's not that horrifying, but I think to audiences back then, I mean, if you had taken a child to it and been like, what the fuck? This is not what we signed up for. Yeah. this is not what we thought this film would be. But I mean, it did well. It says the budget was $11 million. It made $212 million at the box office.
Of course it did, because horror makes money, girl.
Yeah, well, and again, I mean, this is like in that time where, like, you know, Steven Spielberg was everywhere. You know, E.T. was out. Like, I mean, there was just, again, there was like a different feeling about, you know, kind of the world we're living in. So it's like, I think that people flocked to see this because it was like produced by the guy who made the lovable E.T. and not by that horrible guy who made The Thing. Although this has a lot more in common with that than it does with E.T. You know, so it's just, it makes sense to me that like, you know, people were kind of like, what the fuck? But at the same time, it's super fun. Like I think people gave it a chance, which obviously they did, made tons of money. But again, yeah. I don't know how many of those people asked for their
very
money
much fun. I think this is one of those that like it deserves its place in the like holiday movie official canon.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you pointed out, you know, it has a cute boy that runs. I mean, for you, I don't. You know, I mean, he's, again, a little Twinkie-ish. But, you know, if nothing else, you can watch it again for that, you know?
True.
You know, it's a cute boy in distress.
Yes. I do love a cute boy in distress.
Is he a final boy? I mean, it's not really a slasher film, though, so I guess that doesn't really count.
Yeah, we can't count.
Yeah, can't put old Billy on the list for that. But
he's pretty, though.
There you go. You know, and he's stepping up, trying to save his small town.
He's also like really nice, which is strange because, like, I feel like a lot of the movies that we watch, they're like really, there might be a little bit of an asshole, or like they're, you know, there's
a
little
like
edgy.
Generally nice guy.
Exactly. And that's why I think maybe I was drawn to him. I'm just generally drawn to genuinely nice guys.
Yeah. Oh, also, moral of the story, we forgot was hashtag not all Mogwai.
Yes. Gizmo is the good one.
Yeah,
Gizmo is the fully assimilated one.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's like, listen, like those other guys are bad, but I'm like a good guy. Yes. So
oh my God, is he the model?
The model minority. That's another thing that, like, especially with conversations about, I should have brought that up earlier, particularly with Asian Americans or with Asian people, like that model minority thing really gets, and like, you're right. That is exactly shows up in with Gizmo. Like, he's the good one. Like, he's just, like, he's sweet and kind. It's these others that are, like, evil. And again, well, you know, you got to have that. You have to have them.
Oh, my God. Gizmo is the model minority.
Right. Yeah. That will be, I think, part of one of these articles that I'm going to post in the notes kind of takes apart that that's part of the conversation. Like, the model minority of gremlins. Fascinating, right?
I love it.
Oh, yay!
We did it!
Yes, I'm glad that you mentioned again that you'd never seen it, because that just blew my mind. But I always forget, because you like have a family you like, so you rarely come to Scary Christmas. You've rarely been, because...
Yes, I mean, I have a family that I have to spend Christmas with.
yeah.
I mean, I like them, but,
yeah.
You know, I also would like, you know, the idea of like sitting here eating tamales an entire day and drinking mulled wine and watching scary movies is also very appealing.
Yeah. But you choose your family over me.
I choose the blood relatives over my chosen family.
This is true. And I'm okay with that.
So I'm going to need like,
because we get to do this, you know, you're not going to be doing that with them.
It's
so
true. I'm going to need like an organ or money from them. You know, the tissue match is a little bit better in the Pacific Islander realm. Yeah. So,
yeah,
gonna need that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you don't want anything from me. God, Lord knows what'll happen to your body if you try to put
my credit score will go up and maybe up.
No. Oh shit. Oh, Joe. God damn.
I get some of that privilege.
You're so funny. All right, dear listener. Well, we hope that, I'm sure Gremlins is part of your yearly scary Christmas traditions. We definitely have listeners that do.
I don't think we ruined it. I don't think we overthought it too much.
No, and again, nothing that we're talking about is new. You know, these are definitely.
This is all played out.
Yeah, it's definitely conversations that have been going on for years. But again, if we're not overthinking a horror film, what are we doing here? You know? And again, there's a lot more. Like, we could dive really deep into this, and we just barely scratched the surface.
We just gave you things to, like, look up on your own.
Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of, I mean, again, if you just do like a Google search of like, is Gremlins racist? You're gonna find like 10,000 hits and more of
And speaking of our unpaid labor, folks, we have plans in the new year. So if you would like to, you know, give us some money for all of this unpaid labor that we've been doing.
Tuition is
make your tuition payments.
It's coming.
Check out the link to our Fright School Venmo in the show notes. We're going to keep that up there, and we have some great stuff coming for you in the new year.
That is true.
We're going places, literally, and we're
hoping if Omicron doesn't or whatever horror awaits, but right now we do have travel plans, and you know, we can't do that without the fact that you listen and that you keep this show somewhat relevant. All righty. Well, happy holidays to all of you, whatever you celebrate, or if you don't, happy whatever day. What a day is Saturday.
Will you also post your schedule in the show notes?
Oh, sure. If people want to like participate virtually.
They want to participate virtually.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of you may have chosen to ignore your families for one more year for fear of COVID. So
yeah.
This would be a nice way in. But again, like, you know, are you participating in Eastern time?
This is true.
It's like, it's because 10 p.m. here is like, what, 1 in the morning over there? So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm glad that you pointed that out. You know, I can make a whole thing. Like, if you want to start when I'm starting. All righty. Well, yay.
Yay.
All right.
And as always, I begrudgingly make Joshua do this every year. It's my favorite part.
We wish you a scary Christmas. We wish you a scary Christmas. We wish you a scary Christmas. And a year filled with fear.
Fright School is produced by Joshua Napier and Joe Farron.
Our intro was edited by Davey Boy Productions.
Our logo was designed by Jamie Channel Guzman.
Episodes are edited and engineered by Joe Farron.
Fright School is produced in terrifyingly beautiful San Diego, California.